Hey coaches, Adam here. I want to encourage coaches, especially those engaging in fall seasons, to start developing your leaders today. Do not miss the opportunity that the summer provides to start shifting the mindset of our players and start engaging and exciting them into their leadership and character. There can be tremendous momentum established in the offseason as you get ready for the upcoming season. Take advantage of our coaches membership filled with different drills, activities, and exercises that can start being used today. So when the season starts, there's been momentum established, standards have been risen, and your athletes are performing at a higher level than ever before. Take advantage of the coaches membership. Don't take the summer off. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle Elmendorf. And today, Kyle, we're jumping into a four-part framework that can move your team into that player-led culture that you ask most coaches they aspire to have. You look at the success of programs around the country. It is really when the players are taking ownership of it. They are leading the charge. They are holding the standards. They are challenging the teammates, all those different things, right? When the players really own it, it is really when your program kind of elevates, takes off. And, you know, we've taught on this at various coaching clinics for the last couple of years. We've kind of laid it out. It's called the Volt framework. It's a four-part kind of teaching that if you lean into these four areas and you kind of capture the essence of each of the four, it will move your team in that position of being a player-led culture. And Kyle, you've coached for many years. You know, just from your perspective, before we jump into it, what did you see? What have you seen in your career from your experience of how things change dramatically when it moves from that coach-led team to the player-led team? What does it feel like? What does it look like? How do things elevate?
Yeah, it's a completely different look and a completely different feel. And at first, it kind of seems, from the coaching perspective, like a little bit backwards, and like you're kind of hesitant of it because in a way, you're giving up a little bit of control. You're giving up a little bit of authority. And sometimes you're hesitant to do that because, you know, you're dealing maybe with younger athletes. And as the coach, you have the perspective, you have the experience, and you have the vision for how things should look. And certainly when a coach has it all laid out and it's very structured, it's going to benefit the team. There's no doubt about that. But the difference is when the players get a say in creating the vision, and then that ownership transfers, it becomes a completely different team. It has a different look. It has a different feel. And when that happens, the momentum is tremendous. And we'll go through that framework here. But I think for coaches listening, would really challenge you to lean in on it, because it may seem like you're giving up a little bit. But as it's often said in many different walks and many different professions, the more you give out or give to someone, the more you're going to get in return. And I think that's true when you follow this framework.
Yeah. I love that you brought up, it is a little bit of a giving up control. Now, keeping in mind, even in player-led cultures, it is still within parameters of that the coaches lay out, right? So it's not the wild, wild west. Okay. We're not,
right.
We're not going down a path where it's complete. You know, listen, my kids all day, they watch this this show on YouTube. It's and they always want yes days. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
We had to have that for my son's birthday last year after they watched that movie. He's like, I want a yes day. There's certain parameters to that yes day.
If you're not familiar with the yes day, it's essentially where the kids get whatever they want and everything they want, you have to say yes to, right? And of course, like we're not going to go to that level where we become, you know, where we're operating in a yes program. We're like everything the players want, we say yes to it. That is not where player-led teams go. It is still within frameworks. It is still within parameters that the coaches are still guiding, leading, and just rest assured of that. So you find that balance a little bit. And I've not had a yes day for my daughters yet. It just, no, we're not doing that. Right.
Go like dip your toe in the water a little. We gave them like 3 or 4 wishes. And, you know, if it was something that was going to cost a little bit more than what we said, or if it was going to ruin our car, like taking it through a car wash with the windows, that was no, dude, you have parameters here.
Was that one of the things requested?
No, but he asked if he could do that because they do it in the movie. I'm like, no, there's limits to what you can ask for here.
Yeah, because those, guess what, guys? Those YouTube stars are like multimillionaires 10 times over. They can do they'll buy a car for $10,000, destroy the interior for the $100,000 they'll make off the episode. That's a good investment. So let's talk about the framework, though. I'm a coach, and I do, let's say, I'm listening to this. I do want to see my players take more ownership. I want to see more of that player-led kind of mentality from my players. And there's a lot of coaches, you see other programs doing it. And it's like, man, I feel like the kids at that school, man, I just feel like they just kind of like, they've got a different level of maturity, a different level of leadership. They just tend to like drive things greater than what I feel like my kids and my program. And I want more of that player-led. Well, here's the first step. The first step is you've got to do an incredible job casting a clear vision. So that's the V of the vault. You've got to create and cast a very clear vision. There can be no gray area in this. Your players have to truly and firmly and clearly understand, what is it you want this program to look like? What is it we are working towards? What should it look like on a regular basis? We need very clear vision. They often say, there's a church metaphor that says a mist in the pew produces fog in the crowd, right? And like, basically it's like, even if there's the slightest bit of lack of clarity in your messaging, it produces an even greater, right, lack of clarity in the audience. And it really is a challenge that we've got to be crystal clear in what we're trying to do. So when we're going through Lead 'Em Up, once again, we can only speak through the lens of Lead 'Em Up, because that's how we teach, right? And develop that player-led culture is through the lens of what we do, obviously. For us, that vision is very clear, right? We want to remove red, sway gray, build green. We want each kid showing up each day green. We want them to build green. So we say it's a leadership and character dynamic that is, and it's the character and leadership that will drive the culture. So if we can get our kids behaving, thinking, acting right in a character perspective, and then engaging in the leadership to get others there, that will drive the culture. The culture is always driven by the people within it. So we need the people showing up right. So from a vision standpoint, we say remove red. Listen, this behavior very clearly is what we can't have in there. So it's a vision casting of, we want to get rid of that behavior. Then we want to take all those that are in but not all in, that like it but don't love it, that have tendencies to do just enough, which we describe as get gray. We want them to move right into the green, and we want to build green. And then we map it down even one step simpler from that 6-word phrase to a 4-word phrase that really captures it very clearly for the players. You know what? Here's my vision for you. Be green. Build green. Be green, build green, right? Be green, your character. Can you show up each day with the mental and moral character needed to win? The moral character with the respect, the kindness and, you know, responsibility and things like that, the moral side, but then let's also combine it with the mental or the performance side of your character to make sure we are committed, we are hungry, we are driven, we are passionate. Right, we're hardworking, those performative character traits. Let's be green. Can you do that for me? Can you show up each day? Can we work to get there? When that's the vision, I want to see you be green 90% of the time, consistently, day in and day out. That's the, and then secondly, let's build green. That's the leadership. Be green's the character, build green's the leadership, because it's the action, it's the the behavior, right? Can you build green? Can you get others there, right? Leadership's not about you, but it starts with you. So let's start with the be green. Let's move to the build green. Casting a very clear vision that we want to get 90% or greater of our team into the green. We want that. And when that happens and we live out those green standards, those five traits, one of my teams, consistent, passionate, hardworking, selfless, and positive. Very clear. We want everybody living those traits because those traits will drive us closer to winning, winning being multifaceted, winning on the scoreboard, but also winning in our program, winning in our relationships, winning in our culture, winning in the fact that we are enjoying it each day, right? I mean, so many dynamics within the multifaceted component of winning. That is the vision. Let's get there. And when we get there, oh my gosh, paint the picture, please, coaches, of how sweet it'll be when we do. Oh my gosh, it's why we celebrate in the exercise of same page, that when they finally get it, when we finally get to that same page where we are all there, essentially when we've reached our vision, it will cause us to celebrate, just like the exercise, mm-hmm. right? Same page. Yep. There's a celebration when it's gotten. Kyle, the vision, oh my gosh, it's got to be crystal clear. It's got to be attractive. It's got to be attainable. I mean, it's got to be clear. And once they do, now I know where we're trying to go.
Absolutely. That's the key, is you know the destination. And then we start to work backwards from that. But as you said, and coaches, I would encourage you to pause at this point and rewind the past couple of minutes and listen to that again, because Adam laid that out beautifully. And it's like we were sitting in on one of his clinics that he's presenting at. And when we get that right, the two components of that, and you've seen us share it a couple of times on social, we talk it a lot with our teams, is there's two sides of the spectrum here, but in the middle is special. And that's the vision, is we want to build a special team. And we only have this year's team. We can't rely on last year's teams. We can't look forward to what's coming down the pipeline. We only have this day. We only have this season. And that place, that vision that we're casting is special. And the schemes and the talent is the one side of that. That's going to be a part of that equation. But what we're talking about with the vision, the character, and the leadership, that's what allows you to get to special. And by painting that picture of what special looks like and what it feels like, you will get a greater buy-in from the players. You'll hook them. And then we can start to get to that next level of the framework. But the vision has to be casted and it has to be clear. Absolutely.
And I think we attempt it oftentimes. We say things like, you know, we want to be a hardworking team that cares with that loves each other. You'll hear phrases like that, but mm-hmm. keeping in mind that that's not clear. Like it may feel clear, but it's not.
Yeah. When you right? get a group of like 20 to 30 kids, whether they're high school or college age athletes in a room, and you give them hardworking or you give them passionate or discipline, something like that, you're going to find that there's probably at least at a minimum 6 or 7 different definitions of what that word looks like or what it means.
At a minimum, it is subjective. It is subjective, right? And, you know, like I've shared this story before in clinics, right? When my wife started her photography business and, you know, we turned our basement into a studio and we did all these different things. Like we actually had a little come to Jesus conversation where she felt like I wasn't supporting her business. Hmm. And it took me majorly by surprise. I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a little defensiveness, right? I'm like, really? Like, are you serious? You don't think I'm supporting your business? Didn't we? Like, we moved into this house. We turned the basement into your studio. Like, you know, like all these different things. And what we came to the conclusion on is that neither of us were wrong. She wasn't wrong in her feelings that I wasn't supporting. And I wasn't wrong in my feelings that I was supporting. The reality was we were not aligned on where support and what it should look like. Or what it looks like for her. Her yeah. support, she actually wanted it to show up in a slightly different way. Whereas I thought I was supporting, but it was in a different way under my lens. Mm-hmm. She was thinking more of like in this regard, in this area of her business. And to that point, I agreed with her. I actually wasn't supporting her well on that side, but I thought I was doing everything over here.
Yeah.
But we weren't on the same page. So we say things like we want to be a team that loves one another, that works hard, that's disciplined, to your point. And, you know, that is a subjective term that is very vague and it feels clear, but it's not. And you've just got to be very careful that even in that, you've got to go even deeper. And that's why the vision is the first step. But then the second step of the framework is ownership.
Yeah.
Right. And in the ownership, you'll see how we connect it back is actually playing in to the vision. They're kind of connected. Okay. And they play off one another. So what we do from an ownership standpoint is one of the tasks that we have the players establish is their green standards, right? Performance character traits that we've got to get right. We try to narrow it down to five traits, and then we take them through the process, or you do as a coach using the program, you take them through the process of identifying the five traits and then defining the five traits as it relates to them in a very clear, definitive manner. Then we build out that custom sheet for them where it's laid out and every player gets it. Okay. So there's an ownership there. So we're saying we want to be green, but then there's got to be a deeper, more detail oriented. That's where the green standards plays into it. Right. And they are built by the players because we need them to take that spirit of ownership. Coaches, one of the greatest tools you will have in your attempt to build a player-led team is developing a spirit of ownership mm-hmm. in it. Right. It's why one of my favorite sports leagues in the country, PLL, Premier Lacrosse League, one of their guiding principles is to operate like an owner. They talk about operate like an owner. They want everybody within the walls of that organization to think and act like an owner, to care. And I remember Mike Rabel and Paul Rabel, the two owners there, they talked about they started out owning a bunch of gyms in the Baltimore area. And I've known those guys for a long time. And they've shared stories how when they owned that gym, like they were mopping floors in the bathroom. They were cleaning the toilets. And yes, as the owner, you would look at that and say, that's above them, you could argue, right? Don't you have staff sure. that does that type of things? Can't you yeah. contract it out? But what they were saying is that when you have that spirit of ownership, you will do whatever it takes because it's yours. It's your baby, right? And mm-hmm. if you can get that mindset incorporated and facilitated in the players, you're going to get so much more out of them. So the green standards helps them own what it is we need to look like and how we need to show up each day. The beautiful thing is it actually connects back to the vision and ties into that. So now we know very clearly what it is we're trying to work towards. We're trying to get everybody on this team to be these, to show up each day in these traits, because when we do, everything else will fall in line, right? Because if I'm consistent, hardworking, selfless, passionate, and positive, everything else will fall in line as a result of how I'm showing up each day. So in addition to that, you know, we also, all of the awards and celebrations and helmet stickers and all that stuff that we do through our green team and such is all player voted. It's all player voted, right? We want the players' input on it, right? The teams that I'm doing small group with, where I do half the sessions with a small group of influencers and the other half of the sessions I do full team, every one of the small group setups, we add one player from the team to the small group each month. So we may start, let's say it's a fall sport, and I start the small group with eight individuals in April, and we're meeting once or twice a month. Man, May comes, we add a ninth. June comes, we add a 10th. July comes, we add a 11th. August comes, we add our 12th, and we stick with the 12th. And all of a sudden, but who adds those people? They do. Mm-hmm. They do. It's their group. Who do you want to see in this group? Who do you think is deserving to be in this group? Right? Who gets verified? Who's our first six verified? They pick it. Right? Really, them kind of owning it, and coaches and myself just kind of sitting over the top. And here's a great shift for coaches to think about. Move from a coach at times to a facilitator. Move from a coach to a facilitator. Yep. Look up the definition. Read up on the definition of facilitator. Coaches, study for a little bit about what does it mean to facilitate? How does that differ from coaching? Spend some time on that. And what you will see is a very different approach to leadership. Okay. It is one that is slightly removed, not in a dismissive, passive, I don't want to be involved way of remove. So we're not saying get to the place of like being an autonomous leader where you're completely hands off. No, 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 no. When you get into a facilitator role, your job is simply to guide. It is to guide, right, the individuals to help them discover the learning for themselves, to unpack the revealings and findings themselves. Okay. So coach, it's a separation ever so slightly. Coach is going to be this more hands-on directive, right? Where they're, you know, given major directions and they're coaching hands-on and they are right there and their hands are in the mix and it's a slightly pulling back of, in essence, letting them kind of figure it out, letting them kind of guide it. Right. But once again, it's not in the sense of I'm trying to like remove myself in a irresponsible, I'm not engaged anymore, but in a tactful, strategic way of no, 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 no. I'm getting them to process it. I'm getting them to work through it. Spend some time and look at the coaching facilitator difference. And Kyle, make a reminder. I can even share a couple of links on social about just that difference between facilitating and coaching. In fact, we could probably record an entire episode. My role at Towson, where I teach, is the lead facilitator of the Leadership Institute. We'll have 50 people in a session for 2 days with me. My job is to facilitate. It isn't necessarily to coach or teach, although that is part of it, but it is a differing of, hey, I need you all to help run this, to help guide this. We will unpack higher levels of learning when you all begin to share your insight, experience, perspective, not have it be ran or led by me. And I always joke, if I am the lion's share of leadership in our session today and tomorrow, right, it won't be as fruitful and rich as it could be. Right. Ownership. Absolutely.
It came up this morning in my reading. It was perfect timing. And as I read it, I knew we'd be talking about this topic. And it's like, I'm going to share this today on our recording, but also in the future when working with teams, working with coaches. And the book I'm reading right now, old Dale Carnegie book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And the chapter is on how to get cooperation. First line of the chapter says, don't you have much more faith in ideas that you discover for yourself than in the ideas that are handed to you on a silver platter? So when we think about that, if that's true for us, you know, as adults, and he goes on to say, if it is bad judgment to try to ram your opinions down the throats of other people, isn't it wiser to make suggestions? So for us in the coaching part, when we tee it up to where we're offering suggestions, and when we look at the vision and the transfer of ownership, we're not telling them what to do, how to do it every step of the way. And when the players start to create their own standards and what those actually mean to them, that's where it becomes powerful, because in their mind, and a lot of it's true, they've created, right? Now you can certainly guide that and make suggestions, but the point about facilitating is that's what it is. You're guiding them to reach their own conclusions. And when that happens, they feel like they're the creator of it. And when they feel like they're the creator of it, they're going to live it out. And then it leads right into the next letter of this framework here.
Yeah. Yeah. And first off, never buy into any notion that old books are outdated books.
No, this is so good. First time reading it, but I mean, it is.
I mean, that book, when was that? When was that book written? I mean, I read it a long, long time ago, but I mean, it's a classic. Yeah. You have the, when was that?
Yeah. I mean, looking at the publishing date here, 1936.
Wow. I wasn't
almost 100 years old.
Almost 100 years old. Still packed. Still at the top of so many leaders must read books from leadership and just people. And like, I mean, don't allow, you know, any theories that, that's outdated. Old books are out. No, there's so much wisdom in some of those books.
You're talking about, you know, the example of marriage, and this, it reminds me of like myself in a way. because my wife is so good at knowing what needs to be done or what her vision is, right? But if she knows that she wants me to do it, she's going to somehow create it or position it to where it's like,
it's your own idea.
Yeah, so then it gets done. Like, women are so good at that. She's incredible about that.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's a gift.
Yeah. I can't do that. I can't cast that vision for her in the way that she does it to be able like, oh, it's your idea. I'm just like, okay, here's what I want to do. Let's go do it.
I love that. I love that. That's like one of the things I practice a lot. It's so good. And, you know, stretch yourself with this, coaches. What color uniforms are we going to wear tomorrow night? That's an easy one. That's an easy one. That's an easy spirit of ownership. Okay. You know, like that one is just a common, what color socks are we going to wear? What outfits are we going to wear through the halls tomorrow, you know, on game day? Like, I'm trying to give them ownership. Yeah. Like, stretch yourself more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More meaningful, more critical, more formative in our program, right? Decisions right. like that is where the ownership will come. And it's powerful when you can get there. I love what Coach Lunn, he's a high school basketball coach, one of the certainly the top basketball coaches in the state of Maryland at a high school called Walt Whitman High School. He is forever. I've sat in on so many of his talks during halftime. We go out, almost all the halftime adjustments from Coach Lunn are player led. Hey guys, I'm seeing this. What are you guys seeing? Okay. Yeah. I mean, so what do you guys think we should like, where should we go with this? Should we run Kansas? Should we run Oklahoma? I mean, what are you guys feeling? Right. And the players start talking and discussing and they start processing, keeping in mind in that moment of them. And they really do. They start discussing and processing. Well, like, man, they're trapping sure. They're trapping on the half court. And like, man, they keep throwing that double team really quick. I bet we could kind of exploit them on the backside. They start sharing all that. And almost 95% of the times he goes with whatever they say. All right, that's what we'll run with, right? If that's what you guys are feeling, that's what we'll run with. And but the thing that makes that so special, you really got to pay attention. Like, to have that type of interaction in the halftime setting, it only happens because Coach Lunn has done that almost every day leading up to it.
Yeah, it's okay. Not catching them by surprise.
Like that's just the culture he's created. He's created such a player-led culture that like, they jump right into and start sharing. Cause some coaches may be like, I don't even think my players would talk like that. If I did tee it up in the halftime, they'd be like, oh, whatever you think, coach. Right. He has nurtured that. He has led the team to get to that place where he can do that. So, cause he's got that ownership so heavy as a focal point. Let's go to the third letter here. It's language. So we've got vision, cast it clear and grand and attractive. You've got ownership. Stretch yourself where they become formative in the direction and the feeling within the culture, where they are owning it, where you're not driving it, maybe just facilitating, which, by the way, if you look at the etymology of facilitating, which is, once again, one of my favorites, it is simply to make easy. It's to make easy for others. Think about that. You just like, I don't want to tell you everything. I just want to like give you some prompts to make it a little easier for you to figure it out on your own. I'm not going to tell you yet. I'm going to give you some prompts.
Hey, this is Ashley from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's leadership nugget. Looking to grow and develop in your own leadership abilities? I think emotional intelligence is the number one characteristic a 21st century leader must embody. Two key traits of emotional intelligence are self-awareness and empathy. For us to have a positive impact and inspire motivation in our team members, this requires that we are able to discern what's happening internally with ourselves, along with the people around us. To lead a team to a more effective workplace, we must know each other's styles and preferences to work as a team to find common ground in all we do. Leaders who embody high emotional intelligence can 1, communicate their vision more effectively, 2, improve their persuasion and inspirational speaking abilities, and 3, ensure appropriate responses to stressful and sometimes confusing situations at work. Regardless of the many theories out there about what makes a good leader, it doesn't happen overnight. Remember, leadership is a journey. If you're looking to be a better, more effective leader, or if you're working on personal growth, discerning your emotional intelligence is a great place to start. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
Language. There's tremendous data out there, clinical psychology data, team studies data, that continues to talk about the power of shared language within groups. And power in the sense of two, because there's two traits that are relatively similar. Shared language within teams, within groups, does the following. It unifies and aligns, right? That's the first thing. It unifies and aligns, right? When we have a shared language, a very unique language that almost is like an inside joke, right? You know, it's between us. We know it. It almost brings us together. It almost brings us as one, aligns us, unifies us. And it's true, right? Like, think about inside jokes, right? And whenever people start getting inside jokes, even in group settings, it's almost as if the people doing the inside jokes are saying, like, hey, we're together, you're not, right? It's almost like, you know,
it's the us dynamic of it in the group setting, like the sociology of it. There's always an us, there's always an them. And the language, like you said, unites. It's that common thing among all cultures throughout the history of the world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at like places like fraternities and sororities, right? They've built their entire camaraderie in many cases off shared language. They've got all these little things. They've got these shared handshakes. They've got these shared rituals, these shared, you know, ways to communicate. And they are family. Like, they are together, right? It is ours. It's not theirs. It's ours. It's us. This is our language. This is how we are doing it. So it unifies and aligns. And secondly, it simplifies. It simplifies, where you can state a single word, right? Or a single little statement. And because it's you and I, we both know it. I don't need to say much else. I don't need to say much else because we know what it is. We're in sync with one another. So for us within Lead 'Em Up, the way we capture the language is the fact that we are so intentional to create curriculum that is very sticky, right? With phrases and concepts that stick. So we'll say things like, hey, go find a couple gold mines. Boom. Everyone knows what it is. Right? It's like our little language, gold mines. Go find some connections with that new guy that just transferred in. Okay. It's gray, red, green. People know what that is. Hey, stop recruiting. They know what that is because they knew rule 5 of the green team. Hey, you're being a floater. Man, will you stop floating? They know rule 2 of the green team talks about floaters. Hey, man, you are so salty right now. Can you please adjust that? Yeah,
as a coach, that just makes your life so much easier. When you're able to take those phrases, and whether it's one or two words, and you're able to bring them back to the lesson, you're able to drive the behavior with that. And you don't have to go into a big speech. You don't have to bring them back into the classroom or to the locker room. And when everyone starts to understand that, it permeates the culture. It drives the culture. And then as new people come into it, they quickly are brought up to it, and it continues to go forward.
I heard a coach yesterday, Kyle, who said, guys, I'll be honest with you. I saw a lot of guys struggling this morning during workouts and saw nobody jumping in to lifeguard them. Very simple. Saw a lot of guys struggling this morning. Nobody jumping to, you know, to save them. No one lifeguard. Everybody knows exactly what it means, right?
Yeah.
Right. They know the visual, they know the picture, they know the term lifeguarding, they know how it relates to the red team. They know getting in the red is drowning. They know lifeguards need to identify people struggling, paying attention to things, right? Help bring them back up to a better level. It is that language that can unify and align, and then in turn simplifies. And when you do that, once again, you're creating it almost like an us versus them, to your point, Kyle, that once again, driving the player-led culture dynamic, right? You're giving them the language to speak, to lead each other. You're simplifying, you're making their life easier. You're helping bring them on the same page. We do 9 claps, right? So if I want my players to, like, at the end of practice, to clap it up, right? And I want them to, like, hold each other accountable and, like, clap it up. I'm giving them the language. Guys, we do 9 claps and nothing less. So now when I say clap it up, they can manage each other and be like, hey, yo, 9 clap, let's go. 9 clap, hey, dude, 9 clap, let's go. 9 clap. I'm giving them language to lead, which is going to then increase their leadership, which will move us closer to a player-led culture.
The simple part about it is what is obviously, you know, the most catchy, but it's the powerfulness of, like, a word or a phrase. And it reminds me, like, when we look at how we communicate in text message today or on social, so much of it is through emojis. And you can put up one emoji, but it has multiple meanings and people know what you're trying to say maybe in that context. And the way we relate it to the language in which we teach leadership, like you said, is a coach can say one word or phrase, or we could put one logo or an emoji up on the board and our players are going to know what that means. And they're going to know what needs to change or how they need to, you know, go out and talk to a teammate. So the power of that is,
do you ever get this emoji from your wife, the eye roll? Or is that just me?
Once or twice. I'll send her something. It's like, we'll be in the same room. I'll send her like a story or something to watch that I think is funny. And I'll get an eye roll occasionally on that.
It's like the most common one that comes my way. But
that's the power of it, is like, you know, right away what it means. And I think it just goes back to the heart of what we're doing here and why this is so important. Leadership is the most written and taught about topic out there, but yet so few are able to reach today's kids and athletes because it's full of textbook jargon that when they hear it, it goes right over their heads and doesn't mean anything. So that's the power of the stickiness of the language, because it actually means something. They can relate it to their lives and how it applies to them. And it's not somebody talking to them from a screen or reading from a textbook on what accountability is. No, it's lifeguarding, and that has a whole life of its own.
Yeah, well said. The language is so key. Coaches work hard to try to find and incorporate the language that can be shared, repeated, and fueled within their leadership. The last thing, Kyle, within the framework is tracking. So vision, ownership, language, and tracking. If we're going to create a player-led team, our players need to know that it's working. They need to know that it's coming together, that their work is producing. And the one thing as athletes that we have the benefit of in sport is analytics, statistics, things of that nature that allow us to track growth, to measure growth. I can see I'm getting stronger because I put up 185 five times last week, and now I'm at 215 this week, right? Or, you know, I was running a 4.940. Now I got down to 4.5. I was sub 20 mile per hour, my speed. Now I'm over 20, right? So there's all these little notions all throughout sport to kind of help us see progress. There has to be a tracking component. There's got to be some measurement within the player-led dynamic as well to help the players understand that, hey, this is working. Hey, there's actually progress being made, that it's not some vague, elusive, like I'm trying to grab a hold of the wind, right? Type approach where it's like, am I ever getting it? Like, is it ever actually happening? Like, you're preaching it. Are we even moving closer? Are you even happy with where we're at? Like, you need the tracking, because you also, the tracking will then tie into the celebrating, right? Because when you can see tangible movements and directions and moving forward, it also gives us reasons to celebrate. It's very hard to celebrate vagueness or elusiveness where it's like, hey, you've been doing a great job, man. You're really moving us forward. Well, how do you know?
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Right. But like, you're just saying it, because how do we actually know?
Kind of seems shallow in that regard, you know, kind of just on the surface, because there's no, like you said, how do you know? So can I really trust it? And that's the thing, is the trust from the players.
You know, it's why, you know, for us within the green team, we score the green team and we encourage coaches to do that. What percentage of our team, when you set out at the beginning of your player-led culture, what percentage is green, what percentage is gray, what percentage is red, taking in full consideration about the floating dynamic and the 90th percentile standard in order to classify as green. So it can't just be green one day and take the next three off, right? That doesn't work. So there's got to be that level of consistency. But what percentage is green, what percentage is gray, what percentage is red? It calculates a score. Right. And then that score can help give us a starting point that we can then come back to every couple of weeks, every month or so, and see where we're at. And between the collective vote, it still falls in some element of subjectivity, right? Because we are talking about emotions and feel and such. But when you begin to get enough input from enough people, that subjectivity actually moves closer to being more of an objective, right? Because if we all are saying the same thing, then it almost isn't really opinion. That's pretty clear then that this is existing, yep, or happening in our program. So you get all the votes and you determine and you tell the story of that. So if we started out with 10% of our team green in the beginning and we casted the vision, we've been instilling the ownership, we've been introducing language and having that language reinforced and then kind of permeated through the culture, and we're tracking it, and we started at 10%, and then 45 days later, we've moved that 10% green now up to 30% green. There's an incredible story to tell, and you should tell and say, man, I just want you guys to know, like, based on what we just discovered right here, like, we feel like we've tripled the amount of greens on this team. 45 days ago, we said 10%. Now we're at 30%. We're certainly not where we want to be. But man, we tripled it. Great job. And then you can connect it back to more of the subjective feel. Doesn't it feel better now? Like, can't you feel a difference? And they do. And then all of a sudden, right, just like they say in weight lifting, right, results are the greatest motivator, right? Now all of a sudden,
success breeds success.
Now we're seeing the results of our player-led dynamic. We're seeing the growth of it. We're seeing increase. It feels better. Holy smokes. One, I can do this, is what the player says. Two, it's working, the player now believes. And three, oh, it feels good, so let's keep it going.
Yeah, the momentum is powerful. When the players feel it, you know, I just think back to when I was a kid and how that is real. When you feel a part of something, and for us, it was our football program. And we had these dynamics that we're talking about. We had the vision. We did feel real ownership. I mean, we didn't have it to this degree of how it's laid out and lead them up, but our basketball program was a complete opposite. And so we went from being like a county powerhouse and won a lot of games to basketball 500 at best. And it wasn't because there was a radical difference in our ability to play basketball and football. It was the belief and the buy-in. And when you can create that as a coach, you get special. And that carries on long past just that season, because now everybody else, you get the younger kids that come and watch your games. They feel it. The parents feel it. The community feels it. And that's what special is. That's what drives sports. And, you know, with a lot of the posts that we share, and I know you've shared this a couple of times recently, Adam, is just like the power of high school and collegiate sports, of being a part of something with people you work with every single day. And then you get to that point and you feel it. It can't be replaced. You know, Jordan talked about that, just got drafted in the first round of the NBA draft, and talked about how special that was and how he already missed it. And he craved that. And that's what we want. And it goes back to the vision. It's not just the wins on the scoreboard. Winning will take care of itself if you do everything else. It's about people showing up 20 years later saying, hey, coach, I just had my first baby, or let me tell you about this job I got, or the players getting together on their own at reunions or staying connected. That happens when you create a special culture, but it has to be intentional and clear. Following these four steps lays it out for you. And when you do, you'll have the ultimate win. Yeah. It's life-changing.
Yeah. So coaches, four-step framework, you know, spend some time kind of thinking about these four, how you're doing in all of them. Asking your assistant coaches their input on this, trying to figure out ways to enhance each of them, right? Try, you know, is there a way I can enhance my vision casting? Is there a way that I could, you know, incorporate more ownership that is more formative on our program and in the direction, not just, you know, peripheral, what color socks you want to wear, like stuff like that. You know, can you increase the language? Can you utilize and reinforce it so it actually becomes part of this uniqueness within our team that aligns and then simplifies? And then lastly, you've got to be able to track it. So we know we're moving in the right direction so we can see progress. So we're not just feeling like we're running in circles, not getting anywhere. We need to be able to know we're making progress because that progress will then drive things. So the vault framework, four keys to help moving you closer to a player-led culture. Coaches want to encourage you to do it because, oh, it's such a game changer. If you have any thoughts on this, any questions on this in any way, let us know. You can always email kyle@leademup.com, adam@leademup.com. If you have got an email for question for either one of us, you can always follow us on social media, which we'd love to invite you to do. Just be part of our Lead 'Em Up community. If you haven't jumped into the program yet, right, and started taking advantage of all of our resources and teaching concepts and framework, listen, it may be the biggest difference maker for your program right now. And would love to invite you to do that. So as always, we appreciate you on behalf of the Lead 'Em Up team. My name is Adam. Until next time, have fun and lead 'em up.